Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Norway, which is one of the countries on the planet that's been cracking down on the COVID situation, they're going to go even further now and ban the serving of alcohol in bars and restaurants, impose stricter rules in school, and speed up vaccination as part of new efforts to curb the outbreak of the Omicron variant of the virus.
Where did you say this was?
Norway.
Okay.
For many, this will feel like a lockdown, said Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre in a news conference. He said, if not society, then of their lives and of their livelihoods. So, sorry to any bar owners there in Norway, you are basically going to go out of business. Because, I mean, even if you happen to have some good bar food, that's probably not going to be enough to really keep people coming to your
business. That prime minister that said that, is he pro the prohibition of alcohol?
I have no idea.
Because it sounds like he's just like, this will feel like a lockdown to some people and it's going to ruin their businesses, and he's proud of it.
I'm just curious why alcohol and not, you know, banning the food, because alcohol is at least antiseptic to a degree, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But the food on your plate isn't.
I think that the explanation for it here in the United States, back when, if you recall, during the lockdowns in 2020, they, you know, weren't allowing bars to serve at that time either, right? You could get takeout.
Yeah.
So like here in New Hampshire, they changed the rules.
Yeah, they allow takeout alcohol. It was weird. I don't know that anyone ever did it here in Keene, though. COVID-19 is here to stay. There's always going to be a new variant. Just learn to live with it. It's not hard, and it's not even scary if you're not freaking psychotic like people who watch the news 24/7.
And it's not scary to get COVID unless you're dramatically obese or have other serious health problems. So, I mean, they just found recently, even the New York Times had to admit this story, that COVID infects fat cells, apparently. So people who are very fat are going to have a tougher time with getting COVID. Well, in other related
news, it's about as un-American as diseases get, really.
I mean, what do you mean by that?
With the obesity problem in the United States, I mean, if you wanted to engineer a disease that was going to...
It targets Americans because they're fat?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I mean, I'm not saying that China engineered this virus to target Americans, but if you were going to engineer such a virus,
that
targeting fat people would get you the largest number of Americans.
That's a good point.
And if you work with an American like Fauci...
Or if you're a crazy NWO conspiracy nut who, you know, drinks the blood of babies or whatever, and you're like, how can we wipe out the least healthy portions of the population? Mm-hmm. Then again, targeting fat cells would be a good way to go.
Well, in other news that, you know, the news doesn't want to admit, surprisingly, Reuters with the story that the majority of people in the United States with Omicron cases were fully vaccinated. Philadelphia is the latest city with a vaccine mandate in place. And, of course, they're following in the footsteps of New York City, San Francisco, King County, Washington, New Orleans. I'm sure there's been some others that I haven't heard about. But Philadelphia now requiring a COVID-19 vaccine proof in order to eat inside any restaurant or food establishment. Now, it doesn't...
What if you got your vaccine in Brazil?
That's a good question. I don't.
Presumably, you'd still have some sort of proof.
Yeah, you'd have to have some kind of receipt for that. According to the story here, this does include sports venues. So anywhere where you can eat, basically, is included in this. So you can still go to the gym, I guess, without having to show proof of vaccination.
Oh, that's good, at least.
But movie theaters, bowling alleys, or any like museum cafe, and again, sports venues, anywhere where food is being served, they're requiring vaccinations. According to the story here at 6abc.com. So, yet another city.
What the hell is the point of that? Is COVID-19 most transmissible when people are eating or something?
Oh, yeah. I saw somebody in a wheelchair get wheeled up to the side of a table with the mask on all the way there throughout the whole restaurant. And then when they got to where they were pushed up to the table, they took their mask off.
Well, that's what they're told to do.
Was this like an elderly person?
Yeah, but you're... Only safe when you get to the table.
Right. Then it's safe.
I mean, I have no doubt that masks can work. I mean, you have the obvious example of surgeons and doctors and stuff wearing masks. I was like, well, obviously masks don't work, and that's why your surgeon wears one, right? Well, yes, okay. The mask works when your surgeon wears one, when your doctor wears one, when your dentist wears one. And that's because they don't touch theirs once they put it on.
They're trained on how to actually wear those masks.
The average person continually touches those. And that's why it works for surgeons and doctors and in lab tests, but it doesn't work in the real world.
Well, plus the surgeon is not going to be coming to work if they're sick. Right?
Also true.
So it's not going to, like, they know that mask isn't going to protect COVID, but it probably will stop the surgeon from, like, dribbling spit into your open wound as they're cutting you, right?
So, right. Which, like, are all things to be avoided in the surgery room.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, just again, there's not really much more to say. It's yet another city, Philadelphia now, with a vaccination mandate in place. We still have yet to see which state is going to try this first. There were rumors that New Jersey's governor, that he was holding off on doing a statewide mask mandate, or not mask, vaccination mandate, until he got reelected, which apparently he was. And there was a news story a couple days ago, Massachusetts governor bragging that 15 to 20 state governors are all talking together about what a vaccination passport might look like inside the United States. As the Free State NH account has been saying on Twitter recently, the only libertarians left in these cities are the ones who are planning to leave. Because if you're a freedom-loving person and you aren't planning to leave these places, you need to have your head examined. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, the number one argument I see for not coming to New Hampshire is something like, oh, well,
it's cold.
Well, I'm thinking of people from, like, Boston and places where it's also cold. And they're like, oh, but there's all these clubs and stuff for me to go to here. It's like, dude, is that club worth the tyranny? Really?
And it's going to get closed. They're going to say you can't have alcohol again. That happened in San Antonio, and that was my last straw.
Also,
why can't
someone
just open a damn club?
They easily could, right? Especially if we had more people here who wanted to go to them.
Right. I mean, we threw a rave on New Year's Eve a year ago, and it was great. You know, and we ignored all of
this. It's a shame there won't be one this year.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's just not worth, you know, I don't want to try to do it again.
Too many people that can't talk to each other.
Well, yeah, and not everybody likes the music. And it's just like, you know, it was a thing for that time. And it was right for that time because at that time, no one could do karaoke. So we did karaoke. And no one could go to a rave. So we threw a rave. And it was just sort of all together, all as one big event, and people were just, it was great. We had 70-plus people attending there. You were working the door, I think, most of the whole time, Aria, so it was a lot of fun. Yeah. A lot of people
Ended up having contact with every single person there, didn't get COVID, right. Everything was fine.
Yeah, there was no one, I don't think, who, like, came down with anything. As the Free State NH account has been saying on Twitter recently, the only libertarians left in these cities are the ones who are planning to leave. Because if you're a freedom-loving person and you aren't planning to leave these places, you need to have your head examined. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, the number one argument I see for not coming to New Hampshire is something like, oh, well,
it's cold.
Well, I'm thinking of people from, like, Boston and places where it's also cold. And they're like, oh, but there's all these clubs and stuff for me to go to here. It's like, dude, is that club worth the tyranny? Really?
And it's going to get closed. They're going to say you can't have alcohol again. That happened in San Antonio, and that was my last straw.
Also
why can't
true.
Someone just open a damn club?
They easily could, right? Especially if we had more people here who wanted to go to them.
Right. I mean, we threw a rave on New Year's Eve a year ago, and it was great. You know, and we ignored all
of this. It's a shame there won't be one this year.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's just not worth, you know, I don't want to try to do it again.
Too many people that can't talk to each other.
Well, yeah, and not everybody likes the music. And it's just like, you know, it was a thing for that time. And it was right for that time because at that time, no one could do karaoke. So we did karaoke and no one could go to a rave. So we threw a rave. And it was just sort of all together, all as one big event, and people were just, it was great. We had 70-plus people attending there. You were working the door.
You know, liberty isn't the most important thing, strangely enough, to every single libertarian.
And that's fine. That's fine. It doesn't have to
be. But it's weird.
It is weird.
But it's not.
I don't see how you could, even if it's not the most important thing, I get that, right? Like, for some people, families is more important, right? Like, that's one of the,
still part of liberty, the liberty to spend time with your family or to associate with your family.
Well,
whatever
unless you're
like.
In a cage, you can generally associate with your family.
But how long before these libertarians in Boston are in cages because they don't get the 19th booster shot or whatever?
Well, then you're usually still in the cage with your family in that case. So, you know, you're still with your family. There are Oh, sorry, Bonnie. Let's try that again.
Go ahead. Not forever. One day it might be camps where you're separated.
True. For now, they are keeping families together, though, I think, if they're putting them in the camps.
In Germany, it was like men's camps and women's camps, and I couldn't live with only women.
That would be awful. But the, you know, the point here is, look, if liberty isn't your number one priority, that's fine. I get that. People have, you know, sometimes it's their career, right? They've got a really good job. I'm just talking about some of the objections to why people say they even though they care about freedom, they won't move to the largest, to the number one freest place, arguably on the planet already. We've been looking into the Wim Hof method, which is kind of interesting. Have you ever heard of this guy?
I have not.
Iceman, he goes in ice.
Yeah.
And doesn't die.
Yeah, he can like just walk around outside with bare feet on and you know, a pair of boxers.
And jump into a frozen lake and swim around, like literally.
Like through meditation and stuff like that?
He's got like serious mind over matter control, like pretty interesting.
I mean, there
stuff.
Have always been stories about Buddhist monks doing that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, I've no doubt that it's possible.
It
it's
is
just
possible.
Like, I would rather just throw on a sweater, personally.
But in like a smaller, even smaller than the Wim Hof method type of way, if you just get a good attitude about going out in the snow or the cold, and I'm from San Antonio, and I've always said like I hate cold more than anybody else, but I'm starting to change my mind about it just by deciding to change my mind about it. And I've done that with people. Like, if I just can't stand a coworker, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to decide to like her. And then it just works. I don't know how it works. It just, you change your mindset and it, I don't know.
That's a good idea. I may need to look into that because, you know, this is New Hampshire and there is cold weather here and I hate the cold. So if I'm going to stay here, which I'm staying here, I might need to change my perspective on cold weather to accommodate the fact that New Hampshire has lots of cold weather.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. This is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Gen Z. A lot of them have student loans, I imagine, or just
they're working on it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so some of them apparently are frustrated with the whole COVID crackdown situation. And Aria, you wanted to tell us about that.
Yeah, coming to us from The Atlantic, Taylor Robertson wasn't expecting his freshman year of college to end at home. The 21-year-old William and Mary Jr., I assume that's a college, spent most of 2020 away from his campus after classes went remote in March. And like so many other students, found that the virtual format didn't work for him. They also went virtual here in Keene in March of 2020, but they've been having in-person classes ever since, and I'm not aware. I think
they've had a mix. I think you can still opt into a virtual class, last I heard at least.
That's unfortunate because I was hoping that it meant most people sort of had this subconscious awareness that maybe, just maybe, society overreacted a little bit at the start of this pandemic. But if they're still doing some remote classes, then some people still haven't learned that lesson. But an already difficult academic year was even more straining because he struggled to retain information from Zoom classes. And it goes on a little bit there. It's not very important. A year later, Robertson classes are entirely in person. His college has a vaccine and indoor mask mandate. Sucks for them. Here in New Hampshire, of course, the colleges and schools can't impose vaccine mandates.
Oh, but they would if they could.
They wanted to.
But they impose even off campus, off school time mask mandates still.
They do.
So what is there to talk about with COVID that isn't just a drag from the rest of the life that we want to be getting on with? I'm starting to relate to Gen Z the more I hear from this guy.
Well, I mean, these poor Gen Z people, they barely even had a life, right?
Like, yeah,
these
just when they're starting adulthood, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so they haven't even had a chance to get out of college, a lot of these kids, right? Because, I mean, Bonnie, you are right on the edge. I believe you're still a millennial.
I'm supposedly the last year of millennial, but I reject that. It doesn't make sense to me.
Wait, so you want to be a Gen Z?
I just think that, like, 1995 to 1999 should be their own thing.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Like an in-betweener.
Yes.
Kind of thing. So, but, you know, and you're pretty young, so that would mean that the Gen Zs are just finishing college right now, basically. I'm the oldest side of them. Yeah. The younger Gen Zs are still in, you know,
middle school. Yeah. Robertson echoes a feeling that has permeated the minds and lifestyles of many young people who have missed out on experiences, friendships, and milestones over the last 2 years of coronavirus disruption. No. Of government disruption.
Yeah.
There's a sense of needing to make up for lost time and reclaim a sense of normalcy, even as case counts rise and new variants take root. For these cohorts of Gen Zers and Z-lineals,
there you go.
Those born roughly from 1993 to 1998.
Okay.
So those are Z-lineals.
Okay.
Bonnie was talking about that she wasn't aware of anything since Omicron came on, nothing about Delta. And this summer, we were just deluged with Delta virus. Our hospitals were inundated, our emergency rooms. We had a lot of people dying. We had children that got sick and died. We had a lot of people that got sick but couldn't get in the hospital. And then we had just a boatload of people that got the virus but didn't get sick. But now we are very low on getting the virus because we reached herd immunity in Mobile.
Well, I was referring to New Hampshire and like people I know.
Yeah, well, of course, a lot of times the government numbers are complete BS, right? So there's what they say, and then there's the reality of what's going on. What about you personally, Dee? Did you know a lot of people who came down with coronavirus, and how many of them died from it?
Yes. I've known 10 people to die from it.
Wow.
I've known over 2 dozen that got sick enough to go to the hospital and fight for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And by a miracle, they did overcome it. But they were in the hospital for like 3 months. And now I'm 72.
Yeah.
So I'm in that high risk group, and I'm also in a retirement center.
Oh, your music is so bad.
What's up, y'all?
Oh, and Megan Thee Stallion.
Ariana Grande and Jimmy Fallon. Y'all know what time it is. It's time to get those boosters.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's bad.
It was a last Christmas. We stayed in the house. We covered our nose and covered our mouths. But it's Christmas time. We'll be in line for a booster.
Is that Jimmy Fallon?
That's him.
Okay.
Auto-tuned.
Clearly. Yeah. I was wondering how they were going to get him into it. And the headache left no doubt, so I just wanted to verify that that wasn't someone equally horrible with auto-tune, because you would never know.
Yep, so. We're going to spend our Christmas masked up and in line for a booster.
If your singer is so bad that you have to use so much auto-tune that you can barely make out what they're saying afterward, just find a new singer. What about Ed Sheeran or whatever the guy who they used for the last one was? He's all about this pop commodity nonsense. Why would you cover your nose? Do they mean with a mask?
They mean with a mask.
It's weird because he's saying that's last Christmas, but this Christmas is also mask Christmas, so what's the difference?
There's so much auto-tune that I can't really tell what he's saying, whether it's last Christmas or mask Christmas.
It was a masked Christmas is the official title of the song.
Oh.
And I think they might say last Christmas in the lyrics at some points. Anyway, this scene actually has a dancer. So the previous propaganda piece with Ariana Grande that we talked about had like a set of dancers, it was like a real production, right? This one, they've got some unidentified dancer who's literally covered in masks. So imagine like the Mummy
mask monster,
and it's like a total mask character. Like, that's what their outfit is.
I thought you had to be kidding, but listeners out there, he is not kidding.
No,
it is a mummy made out of masks.
Hundreds of masks on this person, this dancer.
It is a swamp thing.
Yeah. Covered on us, but it's Christmas time. I mean, you get the point.
So instead of spending your Christmas wearing a mask, you're going to spend it in line for a shot.
That's
Am I understanding this correctly?
No.
That's the message of the song?
Ian, please play the Megan Thee Stallion part.
Does it get worse or better?
It gets worse.
I'm jumping ahead to that.
This shit's different, you can tell. Take those howls and jingle bells. Put Purell on everything. Turkey, eggnog, candy cane.
For Jimmy Fallon, I guess it's not as bad as it could have been. But I suspect he also wrote the music based on how badly he writes comedy. That's what I would expect from his music.
It reminds me of how Aria was saying she hates Christmas music in general because it's still has this religious like message behind it most of the time. Well, that this is the new version of that. It's the new religion.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of Christmas music is completely secular and has no religious message behind it whatsoever, but it's still awful.
Yeah, well, I'm conflicted on that note. Like, the religious music for Christmas is usually pretty good, pretty well written, but the secular Christmas music is freaking terrible because it's written to be poppy and catchy and all of that stuff, and the religious music wasn't.
Yeah. There's some songs you just wouldn't even know actually have like a religious message in them. Like, Ian didn't know Santa knows we're all God's children, that makes everything right, was part of that one song.
I've never heard that lyric.
Yep.
What song is it from?
That makes everything right, so fill your hearts with Christmas cheer because Santa Claus comes tonight.
I don't think I've ever heard
Santa
that
Claus
song.
Is coming to town.
Oh, Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. Sorry, okay. I had to sing it to remember.
I don't recall ever hearing that song in its entirety, I guess. Is that like the second verse or something?
I don't know. It's just one
Frosty.
Of the...
Didn't Frosty the Snowman also have like several verses?
You know, these sorts of videos are targeted at young people because, I mean,
the music's too basic for adults to listen to, right? That's almost as bad as...
I don't know. Who would listen to this? Who would actually listen to this?
This is not making anyone's top year wrapped Spotify 2021 playlist for sure.
Well, and also, here's the other thing is now YouTube has gotten rid of the dislike count. Right, so you don't
have
actually,
they?
You didn't hear about that?
No.
Oh yeah, YouTube. There's still a dislike button, so you can still, as a user, press dislike, but you cannot see how many other people have done the same thing.
There's an add-on where you can.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that for some reason that you saw that, but it's
they're going to turn that off.
I thought
at some point.
I mean, I know in the past you could like disable that for your own videos.
Yeah,
is
no,
that what's going on here?
No
is this
one
by
can
default?
See it. Yeah, by
wow.
I don't think there's another option. Now, Bonnie's saying there's some sort of a plugin that you can get that'll somehow reveal that data. I guess YouTube still has that data maybe in the web pages and they're just covering it up or something. But it'll only be a matter of time before YouTube stops relaying that data to the page.
They've always done this with comments, which I always thought was really annoying because anytime I see a comment that's just so stupid and has a whole lot of likes, I want to give it a thumbs down, but it doesn't take away from the likes, and then there's no count for the dislikes. So that's what they've always done for comments, and now they're doing it for the videos.
Yes, somebody in the comments, four comments down, says this song is exactly why YouTube removed the dislike counter.
The political messages of a lot of these singers, like when they're not singing songs, are like 100% counter to the stuff they say in their songs.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, are they writing their own songs?
Gaga is too.
I don't know. Maynard of Tool is one of the worst examples because he is a full-on support the police bootlicker, I love the government kind of guy. Mm. But when you listen to their lyrics, it conveys a message 100% opposite that.
Very strange.
But when he starts ranting on stage, he's like, oh no, the police keep us safe. And then he sings a song that is more or less about hating the government in one degree or another.
Weird. Why is that?
Well, Lady Gaga's always like, you know, one of the top people writing her own songs. But I've always wondered if it's just they just put her name there just so that way people can believe it. And it's not true because it's the same exact thing. She literally sings about freedom all the time, even on her newest album.
While in a mask.
I think it's just because they don't really understand the implications of what they're saying. They're like, ooh, this sounds good. That's a powerful line. I'm going to put that in there. But they don't actually apply it to their lives that or their own personal philosophies.
How could you be so disconnected?
I don't know.
How could you be? How, as a creator, presuming they are the creators of these things, how, as a creator, could you put words, you know, down for a song that you don't actually agree with?
I mean, the whole song, The Pot, is all about how the political system, the justice system, is just completely screwed up. A lot of people love it because, like, oh, it's a song called The Pot, but it's actually about the pot calling the kettle black. And one of the lines in the song is, kangaroo be stoned, he's guilty as the government.
I've got a quote here from our friend and co-host Nobody, which is thanks to you, Bonnie. You've been putting these quotes together for the last couple of weeks here, maybe 3 weeks now. Seems like it's been a bit. Anyway, nobody cannot co-host with us. He is not allowed to speak with Aria and I, and we're not allowed to speak with him because we're all co-defendants in the Crypto 6 case, which you can learn more about at thecrypto6.com, where the federal government raided our studios earlier this year, back in March, and we're not going to trial until November, so we don't get to talk until then.
At the earliest.
Yeah, exactly. And so unless they lessen our restrictions, which could happen, but hasn't happened yet. Meanwhile, he's also prohibited under his bail restrictions from even being on the radio. So even if we could talk to him, we still wouldn't be able to put him on the air with us because he's prohibited from doing that. But that doesn't mean that we can't share with you things that he said previously. So
right.
Some classic nobody quotes that Bonnie has gone through the trouble of digging out from old episodes of Free Talk Live, maybe some of his writings as well. And here's one of them. Quote, I did a year in jail for drug dealing, so I know a little about gangsterism. The most dangerous drug cartel in the world is Big Pharma.
That was him speaking out against, I think it was, I don't know if it was Keene or New Hampshire that wanted to make Kratom illegal. Yeah, yeah, at the State House.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more. All for free at freetalklive.com.